Well, good morning. Let's take a moment, and if our ushers can get ready to take up the tithes and offerings, let's bow together and pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you so much. You are so good to us. You have blessed us in so many ways. And Lord, we want to now show our appreciation and show our thanks and show our honor to you by giving you back the first part of what you've given us. We pray that you'll take it and use it, multiply it to meet many, many needs, to spread your good news all over this earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm really excited about several things that are happening coming up soon. First of all is our journey, of course, starting in 2 weeks on Valentine's Day. I highly encourage you. As a matter of fact, if you feel like you're a part of this church, you need to be in one of our journey groups. Otherwise, you'll completely miss out on that journey for this year, because most of the work, most of the learning, most of what goes on happens in the small groups. You cannot get it just by showing up here on Sunday morning. The other thing I'm excited about is our homeless ministry that's starting. The meeting this Tuesday evening, 7 p.m., it's in your bulletin, is a training meeting. Okay, and Jay didn't really make that clear, but it's a training meeting, so if you're going to help out in any way, then you need to show up, and this is your training on how to help out. Or if you're just interested in finding out what, you know, what's all about or getting more information, you can still show up, and even if you're not sure that you'll be able to help. All right. Did you hear about the kidnapping at school? It's okay. He woke up. Some of you took way too long to get that. Are you really awake? Did you hear about the guy who had his left side cut off? He's all right. All right, no more of that. We're wrapping up a series today called Starting Over. And the whole idea is that if you're starting over in business or a relationship or a marriage, you're starting over academically, professionally, financially, the tendency is to just jump in and basically do things just like you did last time. Which means, of course, that you end up with the same negative result as last time. And so in order to make sure that the next time is better than last time, there's three things you have to do. Number one, you got to own it. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. You got to take responsibility for what was your fault. You can't blame your way into a better future, because blame sets you up for a repeat performance. It sets you up to repeat the mistakes that you made last time, which means you'll end up with the same results that you had last time. Then last week we talked about the second step, rethink it. Rethink simply means when we make mistakes in life and we look back at things we regret, we always ask this question: what was I thinking? But we never stop to answer that question. It's a great question, but we never stop to answer it. And so last week we said you got to stop and actually answer that question: what were you thinking? Because if you don't think differently, then you won't act differently. If you continue to think the way you used to think, you'll continue to do the things you used to do. And if you were here last week, then you know the answer to this. Do you want to be a conformer or a transformer? Anybody? You want to be a transformer, right? You don't want to live a cookie-cutter life. And so step one is to own it. Step two is rethink it. And this week, step three is release it. Now, here's what I mean by that. In the first week, we looked at this pie chart, and you can see it up here. This pie chart, we called this the circle of blame. And this circle shows who's to blame for why it went wrong last time. Who's to blame for your last relationship ending badly, or why your last semester didn't go so good, or why your boss said that thing about you, or why your career went down the tubes, your finances are wrecked, you're in debt. Whatever the blame is, here's the circle of blame. And we talked about how in order to move forward, you've got to own your piece of the pie. You've got to take responsibility for the part that you played that caused it to go wrong. So what we're going to talk about today is the rest of the pie. In other words, the part that the other person, or the other people, or your company, or your school, or your boss, the part that they really are to blame for.
Because sometimes things are mostly our fault, but sometimes it's mostly their fault. They really did hurt you. They really did betray you. They really did break their promise, or they lied to you. In other words, they had a big part in the fact that you're having to start over financially or relationally or whatever. But the thing is, even though they're to blame, you and I have a responsibility for what we do with it. Let me explain it this way. We talked about how if you don't own your part, the little slice up there, and you simply blame others for everything, then it causes you to carry your issues with you into the future and repeat your mistakes. It's like you take that little slice there, which has your issues and your dysfunction and your bad habits, your mistakes, and it's like you put it in an invisible backpack that you then carry around with you the rest of your life, so that the next time around, you'll be sure to repeat the same mistakes. Now, that's obviously not good. You don't want to carry around your part for the rest of your life, and the only way to deal with your part is by owning it and refusing to blame. But even after you've dealt with your part, you still have the whole rest of the blame pie that has to be dealt with. You have the other person's part that needs to be dealt with. And if you don't deal with the other person's part, then you end up carrying that around with you too. But now it's like you're enabling other people to load up your backpack with their stuff, with their trash, what they did to you, and you take that into your future. So even if you own your part of the pie and take responsibility for the areas you messed up, if you don't deal with their part, if you don't deal with the part that was done to you, and if you don't deal with the betrayal and the anger and the hurt that came as a result of what they did, if you don't deal with that properly, then you're letting them load up your backpack. That means that the people you dislike the most, the people that you hope you never see again, the people that betrayed you, the people that you can't even believe what they did to you, the people that hurt or betrayed you or abandoned you, fired you, mistreated you, stole from you, lied from you, you're letting them load up your backpack with their trash, and it's like they're making you carry around their trash into your future. Let me tell you, you do not want that. And this is why people who start over so often end up with the same bad result, because you're dragging the past along with you. Either your own part that you refuse to own, or the other person's part that you refuse to deal with. And let me tell you the kind of stuff that ends up in that backpack. Resentment, lies, bitterness, anger, anxiety, lack of trust, fear of intimacy, cynicism, and more. And in fact, if you see those kind of things in your life right now, guess what? You're probably carrying around a backpack full of somebody else's trash that you haven't dealt with. And so let me ask you, how far into your future do you intend to carry that backpack? Now, you'd say, well, I never planned to carry it at all. Well, that's why I'm asking the question. Because if you don't make a plan to drop it, and if you don't make a plan to deal with it, then you know one thing for sure, that you're going to keep on carrying it. You see, we all understand that our current situation is connected to our past. We all get that. So how far into your future are you going to carry that backpack? How long are you going to carry your negative past into your future? How long do you plan to allow the people who mistreated you to keep their trash in your backpack so that you have to keep carrying the weight of it? In fact, maybe I ought to have you get out your calendar and let's look at it and let's see, you know, do you plan to do this for the rest of your life? Or, you know, maybe just through the next marriage so you repeat the same mistakes and ruin that one too? Or, you know, are you going to carry it until you retire? How long are you going to empower the people that you don't even like to continue to influence your future? Now, I think if you were to answer that question honestly, you'd say, well, I would like it for it to end today. You know, I don't want to empower the people that aren't even around anymore. I don't want to empower the people that mistreated me. I don't want to empower that 10th grade teacher that humiliated me, or the coworker who backstabbed me, or I don't want to empower that boss who mistreated me and discriminated against me. I don't want to keep carrying around the insecurity from my dad who didn't do this, or my mom who did do that, or I don't want to carry any of that. I think all of us would say that. And if that's true, and if you want next time to be better than last time, then you got to fully deal with everything that happened last time. Now let me ask you another question. Have you ever met anybody who just seems like they really have their life together and their act together? They just seem like really normal people. They grew up without a lot of problems and went to school, met somebody nice, got married, and life just went really smooth for them. That's how they seem. But then you get to know them. And eventually, you get to hear their story. And when they tell you their story, you are shocked by something in their past. You look at them and you go, I had no idea. I had no idea that you had such a screwed up childhood. I had no idea. You know, no one would ever guess that you went through that. You ever had that happen? Maybe if you're in a small group with somebody and people are telling their story and you know, they're just the nicest couple, and then she tells an incredible story from her past, or he tells about dealing with alcoholism or addiction or something way through in their marriage, and you sit there and you're like, wow, I would have never guessed that about you. Well, that's the goal. That's the goal. The goal is to be able to move beyond things that have a potential to mark you for life and move into a future that isn't tainted by the garbage of the past. Now, because of what I do as a pastor, I often hear people tell their stories about some difficult stuff. And when you ask them, how did you get past that? I mean, because you know, it had to be incredibly difficult. Now you look kind of normal. And how did you get from there to normal? How'd you get from there to healthy? How'd you get from there to where you are now? And here's what they'll tell you. It's virtually always some version of this, like 100% of the time, some version. They'll say, I decided my past will not define me. My past will not define me. It will remind me, but it will not define me. I'm going to learn some lessons from my past. I'm going to make sure I don't do what was done to me. I'm going to make sure that I never make anybody feel like they made me feel. I'm going to parent differently. I'm going to marry differently. I'm going to learn from the past. And the past is going to remind me, but it will not define me. So here's the point of my message today. You have the ability to decide, just like they did, to leave that behind you. You have that power, that regardless of the kind of things that in the past where you were deeply hurt or wounded or betrayed or abandoned, you have the ability to decide to do something about it. And that's why I ask the question, how long do you plan to allow the past to influence and control your future? Because until you answer that question, you're going to keep repeating the mistakes of the past. Because you keep dragging the past with you into the future. And as a result, next time is going to look too much like last time. And so to ensure that next time won't be like last time, you've got to release the past so the past can release you. And that boils down to one familiar word that we talk about a lot in church, and we love to talk about it when it comes to God's relationship with us. But it's a little harder when we talk about our relationship with others. That little word is forgive. Forgiveness allows us to learn the lessons of the past without lugging around the backpack full of trash from the past. And you all know this. This isn't new for any of you, you know. But some of you think, well, Ken, I can't just decide to leave the past behind. I got hurt too badly. You know, I can't do that. It's always going to drag me down. It's always going to define me. It's going to define my marriage. It's going to define my relationships. I want you to know that you can decide to move on. And maybe you won't decide that today, but if you do decide, I believe God will honor that decision. And in time, your past will be an incredible reminder. People will meet you and they will be shocked when they hear your story because there will be no trace, there will be no evidence of the negative past, just some powerful lessons learned. Because you can decide to forgive. And through forgiveness, you begin the process of allowing the past to be the past. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus. You can actually visit Ephesus today. I've been there. It's an ancient city with some of the best stone ruins in all of Asia. And Paul gives the church in Ephesus some insight into forgiveness and anger that is amazing. Here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, in your anger, do not sin. So he says, look, there's some things that are going to make you angry. And some things should make you angry. When you see injustice or abuse, it should make you angry. When the Bengals give away the game in the last minute, you know, it should make you angry, right? But he says, in your anger, do not sin. There's a difference between being angry and sinning. And then Paul gives us an insight into what our responsibility is when it comes to anger. He says, do not. And the reason I underline those words is because that means there's a decision for you to make. There's an action. Do not. We get to decide. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Not a lot of people take that literally, which means you should never go to bed mad. And that's easy when what made you angry is something simple. You know, like your husband ate all the apple pie and didn't leave you a piece. Or, you know, your wife complains about the birds dropping poop and seeds on the deck. You know, those are the kind of arguments, by the way, that we have at my house. And, you know, those are pretty simple. They're pretty easy. You know, honey, I forgive you for eating the apple pie. Just don't do it again or I'll drive over your golf clubs with my car. You know, and then it's over. It's done, forgiven, and you can go on. But when it comes to the big bad things, when it comes to things that are issues for weeks or months, or maybe it's an issue from a previous marriage or relationship or a previous job or something, you know, somebody did something really big and bad, then this scripture isn't necessarily literal, like it has to be done tonight. But Paul's saying you do have the responsibility and you do have the ability to deal with this. You can decide, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. In other words, you need to decide, how long am I going to deal with this? How long am I going to carry this? How long am I going to leave it in my backpack and drag it around into my future? How many more sunsets? How many more times is the sun going to go down without you deciding to do the things or to deal with the things that have caused you to be angry? And this is an important question because it's a question. If you don't ask it, then 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you'll still be dealing with the same stuff. You'll be exactly where you are today. And don't miss the important part where he says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let, you know, this is something you do. You have to decide. You have to take action on that decision. And sometimes we hear stories that sound so bad or painful, and you just feel so sorry for that person. You want to have a Kleenex party, and we want to say, okay, your situation is special. In your situation, you get a pass. You don't have to forgive them. You can stay mad at them the rest of your life because it was so bad. You know, and we would like to say that. But Paul says, no, no, no matter how bad it was, you have a responsibility. You need to take action to deal with it. And then he continues, and do not give. Again, it's an action that you do. You have responsibility. Do not give the devil a foothold. Now, the word foothold is sometimes translated opportunity, but it literally means a staging area. Don't give the devil a staging area in your life. Don't give the devil a place to camp out and set up a tent and have some coffee and invite his friends over and make himself at home. In other words, don't allow your anger to result in something that stays with you forever, to the point that your enemy is able to wreak havoc in your life forever and ever. So how do we keep that from happening? He says, It's by dealing with your anger. It's by making a decision. I am not carrying around that backpack any longer, the backpack that's got somebody else's trash in it, and it's weighing me down, it's ruining my happiness. I am not going to let any more sunsets go by. I want to be done with this, and maybe it's going to take me a while, and maybe I'm going to have to get some counseling or maybe some accountability, but it's got to end, because I do not want my enemy to have a staging ground in my life that reaches into my next marriage, that reaches into the way I parent or into the way I grandparent, that reaches into the way I work, the way I deal with my money, or the way I deal with temptation. So that's the first application of this verse. Don't give the devil a foothold. But there's another way to look at this verse, which also gives us some brilliant insight. You see, the devil in the Greek New Testament is often called Satan because the devil's name is Satan. But the Apostle Paul doesn't use the name Satan here. In this verse, he uses the Greek word that literally means deceiver or liar. And in fact, some English translations, some of the older ones, don't even put the word devil here. They put the word liar or deceiver here. And here's why that's interesting and what makes this such a brilliant verse. If you were to take out the word devil, and if you were to put in the name of the person who lied to you or deceived you or hurt you, that verse would still make perfect sense. Now, I'm not saying that they actually are the devil. You might think they are, but that's not what I'm saying. But here's the power of this verse. Paul is saying, in your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, because if you allow the sun to go down on your anger night after night, forever and ever, you're giving that person, and you can fill in the blank with the name, you're giving your boss, you're giving that teacher, that coworker, your mom or your dad or your ex-husband or your wife, you're giving that person a foothold in your life. And that's exactly what we've been talking about. You're letting them keep your their trash in your backpack that you have to carry around with you into the future. Now, here's what I know about you. You do not want to give the person that hurt you the most a staging area in your heart. You know you don't want to do that. And some of you know what I'm talking about, because you're thinking about that person right now, and it still causes you anger. It still hurts. And it's because of too many sunsets of anger that you never dealt with. And so Paul says, look, you've got to decide. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight. But you've got to decide. I'm going to do whatever it takes for this to be in the past forever. I'm going to learn from it. But I am not going to be led by it. I'm going to learn from it, but it is not going to be my legacy. I'm going to learn from it, but it is not going to define me. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil or the deceiver or the slanderer a foothold. And in the same way, don't give another person, and you can fill in somebody's name there, do not give them a place in your life to keep hurting you. Because there is a place for anger, but you got to keep it in its place. Well, then a few verses later, Paul comes back to this whole idea, and look what he says in verse 31. He says, get rid of, and notice, it's another action that we need to decide on. We have a part to play in this, an action to take. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. And there's our word, forgiving each other. And the word forgiving here, if you look at the original Greek, literally means to pardon. Forgiveness is simply a pardon. What is a pardon? A pardon is, you're guilty, but I'm going to let you off. You're guilty, but I'm not going to punish you. You're guilty, but you can go free. Now, when I forgive, it doesn't mean you're not guilty. In fact, if you weren't guilty, I wouldn't need to forgive. So I'm saying, you are guilty. You did do it, but I am choosing to no longer prosecute you for what you did. That's a pardon. And Paul says Christians have a responsibility to pardon the people that have done wrong to them. Now, questions come up like, you know, does that mean that I shouldn't call the police? No. If somebody breaks the law, you call the police, and then you forgive them. And the judge might throw them in jail, but you can still pardon them. You can visit them in jail and say, you know, I pardon you, but unfortunately the judge didn't. See you, gotta go. You know, the point is, you have to decide, I'm going to do whatever it takes for this to be in my past forever. I am not going to allow what they did to chase me into my future. I'm not going to carry their trash in my backpack forever. And the only way for me to get their trash out of my backpack is I need to pardon them. I need to say, you're guilty, but you don't owe me anymore. Your mistreatment of me is not going to define my life. Now, for Christians, Paul actually raises the bar in the next phrase because he says this, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. In other words, we were guilty and God pardoned us. We were guilty and God didn't pay us back or make us pay him back because we couldn't. And so now God wants us to pass that along, do the same for others that he did for us. And so Paul says, I want you to pardon as you've been pardoned. And here's the implication. I want you to go first so that you can go on. Don't just sit around and wait for the other person to come and apologize to you. Let's face it. They don't even realize what they've done half the time, right? And they're not going to come and apologize because that's just who they are. And if you wait around for them to come and apologize, you may wait your whole life. And they may never understand what they've done. So what has to happen is you go first so you can go on. You just make the decision. I am not going to drag this trash around with me any longer. I've decided to pardon. I've decided not to hold you accountable for what you owe me. Now, if you're serious about this, and if you're dealing with a big issue, maybe an ex-spouse who hurt you or a former boss or somebody who betrayed you, if it's something big, then I want to give you an extra step or a first step here. I want to encourage you to make a specific list of what they owe you and of all the ways they hurt you. And here's why. Sometimes you'll say, you know, well, I forgave him, but it didn't help. And the reason it didn't help is because you prayed this general prayer like, you know, God, I just want to forgive him, period. And you end it there. And if somebody has hurt you deeply, or if it's gone on for a long time in a bunch of different ways, that's not enough. You need to get specific and write down everything they owe you, everything they did to you. Maybe write down, they stole my reputation. They stole my time. They stole my first marriage. They stole my opportunity to raise my kids. They stole this. They took that. They betrayed me. They hurt me this way. And you write it all down specifically because before you pardon someone, you need to have a crystal clear picture of what you're pardoning them for. Now, if you're here the second week of the series, we talked about something you got to do first, right? We said the first thing you got to do is to own your part. Take responsibility for your own part, the things you did wrong. Why is that important? Because guess what? You will never let go of their part if you haven't first owned your part. You'll never be able to fully pardon and let go of what they did until you go first, until you first own what you did. If you try to pardon and forgive without first owning your part, you'll just stay mad. And you'll think that forgiveness doesn't work because you're still mad. In fact, many people are afraid to forgive because if I forgive what they did, I'm left with what I did. And I don't really want to face what I did, and I don't want to own what I did, so I'll just stay mad at them because as long as I'm angry and as long as I blame them, I don't have to face my part. But if that's your decision, and if you refuse to take responsibility for your part of the pie, then you lock yourself into a future that's influenced, and in some cases controlled, by the very people who hurt you most. And you don't want to do that. So if you're starting over, three things, if you want it to be better next time, you own it, you rethink it, and you release it. Own it means you got to own your slice of the pie. You got to own it so it won't own you. Rethink it means that you identify and reject the kind of lethal assumptions we talked about last week. And instead of being a conformer, you be a transformer. You work to renew your mind. And then third, release it. That means to release the past. So the past will release you. Pardon as you've been pardoned. We're going to close now, so I'd like the band to come up. But let me close with some great news. That when you have to start over, next time really can be better than last time. But not just because you want it to be, and not just if you just jump back in and repeat the same mistakes, and not if you refuse to do the difficult work of owning it, rethinking it, and releasing it. Getting ready for that next relationship, whether it's a marriage or a semester, a job, a new deal, a responsibility, financial thing, you've got to look back the last time and ask the three questions. You ask, what was my part? What was I thinking? And how long am I going to carry this with me into the future? Next time really can be better than last time, because after all, this is your story. And you get to decide how your story is going to go. And my hope and my prayer is that it'll be a story worth telling and a life worth living. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that where this truth today touches some difficult situations, would you give us ears to hear what you're saying to us? Would you give us the insight that we need to at least take a next step? Father, I pray that there wouldn't be any more suns that set on the stuff of our past that leaks into and controls our future. So would you please give us wisdom to know what to do with what we've just heard, and then give us the courage to do it. Maybe you're not sure of your relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. You're not sure that you're a part of God's family, a part of His family that will last forever. And if that's the case, why don't you just pray with me right now? You can be sure. Just pray, Jesus, I give my life to you right now. I commit my life to you right now. I ask you to come in and give me the power to change. I thank you for all you did for me on the cross. I thank you for rising to new life so that I can have new life. I receive your free gift of salvation right now. I ask you to put your Holy Spirit into me to give me strength and power to change. I thank you for new life. Now you have my life. Amen.